Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. Going to be with you for about 55 minutes. An eclectic show. And really and truly, it's going to be a show about people, churches, places, history. I really did put some research into doing this show. I'm going to introduce my guest, starting with Father Matt Barone. He is the pastor of St. Charles Church in Pittsfield, my home church since I was a child. I don't know if they're proud of it, but I am. George Haddad, Haddad Dealerships, great guy, Boys Club committed. And we'll be talking about this. He has been nominated to be Toyota Dealership of the Year. And George, got a full disclosure. I think George and I have been friends a very long time. I think the world of him and his entire family, but he paid me to say that. And Jeff Cantarella, Jeff, your contributions to St. Charles are laudable. And I want to thank you for coming on, all of you for coming on the show today. But we're here, we're going to, Father, we're here to talk about a bunch of things, but I want to tell you this first and foremost. Father Matt is the new pastor of St. Charles, doing a great job. And George is helping Father Matt. We have a fundraiser. It's a diocesan situation. And George or Matt, you want to just, or Father. Sorry, Father. Sorry.
Okay, we won't hold it against you, Bill.
It's too late to say me. George, kind of give us an overview of what this is, you and Father.
Well, it might be better if Father Matt starts.
Okay. All right, Father.
Sure. Yeah. So the Diocese of Springfield, of which St. Charles is a part of, has undertaken a major capital campaign across the whole diocese. So all parishes are participating in it, including St. Charles. And it's an endeavor to raise money for the diocese, but also to be able to help parishes to kind of look at what are some capital projects that they want to work on, what are some things that they want to do around the parish. And these funds from this capital campaign will help us to be able to do that. And so we have been over the last 6 months, give or take, been participating in this capital campaign as part of the Diocese of Springfield. And so for us here at St. Charles, our big capital project is the wall of our church. And so that's been our focus throughout the campaign.
And Jeff and George can, when Father says the walls of the church, he literally means the walls of the church. The walls of the church are like my abdomen. They're just blowing out. So Jeff, you want to hit that?
Sure, Bill. Thank you very much for having us. Yeah, St. Charles was built at the turn of the century. And unfortunately, we're going through a structural problem where we've got some trusses that were probably set around 1904 that are actually pushing the exterior load-bearing walls outward and forcing the brick to bow outward. So we've got to do some unique repairs out of the box type of restoration to both the trusses and to the masonry to stabilize and revitalize St. Charles for many years to come for future parishioners. So that's the challenge we face. We found a architect that I've worked with for a long time out in Rhode Island that specializes specifically in these type of repairs. And we've got a great plan ahead of us. And that's the plan, Bill.
From what I'm reading, I did my research for this program. Where do you hear the stuff I found out about George? The ground was broken in 1894.
Right.
The cornerstone was laid in October 7th of 1894. So it's why am I doing this? And I'll be very candid with you. It's my parish. I don't get any money for doing these shows and anything like that. But the other reason it is a beautiful, beautiful church. I don't care what religion you are. Stop in there. Look at this beautiful church, the stained glass, the pews, the altar itself. And I'm an old man. I don't know what I got left, but this is like my contribution to save this beautiful architecture. And like I said, I don't care what religion you are. This is a beautiful we George and Jeff and Father, you weren't around here at the time, but we went through this thing in Pittsburgh. We were tearing everything down, or it was falling
Right.
down.
Correct.
My father said, took me and he said, they'll curse the day they tore this train station down. And I think they do.
They do,
The
Bill.
Union Station was beautiful.
Bill, let me just interject some
Yes,
information that's
please.
very interesting. When they started building this church, they had the permission of the diocese. The parishioners left St. Joseph. It was primarily an Irish community that built St. Charles. They had enough money to build the foundation and the basement, and they capped it. And they held mass in the lower basement, fully capped. There was a sacristy, there was an altar, and they held mass for many years until they raised enough money to construct the main church. And when you go in that church, to your point about the architecture, you see many signs of the influence of the Irish architecture. But what makes St. Charles so special is the trusses. They are absolutely unique, not only to the Berkshires, but to the entire Northeast. They're
Wow, I did not know.
hammer trusses, but the bottom cord is steel. A steel twisted piece of bottom cord. It's not wood. Very, very unique trusses. Part of that has contributed to some of the problems, but not, nothing that can't be, rectified. So to your point, it really is a gem,
Yes.
on the inside and the outside. And we feel really good about proceeding with our plan to save it for many, many years to come.
The rounded window in the choir loft is unique from what I've read. Even in churches, it's a copy of some church in Europe. In the hand carving, woods there. And I guess my thing is, it's my church, yes, but it is really a historical building.
Truly.
If the diocese closed it tomorrow, I'd have to go down there and raise Cain. But if they did, I'm sure people would do something with that building to preserve it. What we're trying to do now.
Exactly. But the way I look at it is when you go back and you think about what these people did starting in 1894 and how hard they worked with the tools they had. And when you go up in the attic and you look at the size of these truss members, all hand-hewn. And everything they did to build this church, I look at it and I use the phrase, it is our turn to step up. It's our turn as parishioners
That's
to
good.
step up and save this parish and this church.
And just to let people know, George and Father, they have been the team that have been promoting this diocesan. This is across the entire diocese. And I have the bishop on once a month. That's kind of his penance to come on to me on the show. But he comes on and again, he's a new bishop, new a breath of fresh air, in my opinion. And by the way, I have to do this because in the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way, no way, represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Mayor Marchetti and the City Hall, Peter White and the City Council, and/or the person that is walking on the ice and taking their life on Pontoosic Lake. But we'll have to do something. George, you've kind of headed this up, you and Jeff and Father. What's been the most challenging part?
I think the most challenging part is probably just getting people to realize the value of the church. We're in a what I consider to be a great position. We've gone through some troubled times where people had left our parish before Father Matt came on board. We had Father Peter, who everybody loved. I tell
Father
people I
Peter
call him,
Gregory, for the people that are listening, Father Peter Gregory was there forever.
I tell everybody he's the goat of priests. He was the greatest of all time. I told that a funny story. I told that to the bishop one day, and the bishop looked at me and crossed his eyebrows. He says, "Why would you call Father Peter a goat?"
Oh, he didn't know.
He didn't understand what it was, and it was a kind of comical, but we all burst out laughing after I explained it to him. But he really was, and everybody loved him in the parish. And we had some instances where we had a couple priests that maybe didn't turn out as the best choices for the church, we'll say. And now Father Matt has come, and now it's getting a little tougher to find the right seat in church. It's getting a little bit more crowded. People are coming back, and he's done a great job. And through the whole thing, which is important to me, is the bishop stood behind the church. He helped the church. He assured the church that he wasn't going to close this church, and stuck by it through all of our troubled times. So now we're gradually getting people back. I mean, last week at Mass, it was crowded. The 4 o'clock Mass was crowded, and I heard a nine. You know, I'll be at 9:30 this weekend, and see what 9:30 brings about. But it's getting busier. The church is doing better financially now that Father Matt took over, and now's our opportunity to get everybody on board. And I said a. I had heard that the average capital campaign had about a 30% rate of return from parishioners, and I tried to set ours at 100%. And we got a ways to go to get there, but we're ahead of the curve of other parishes. So the right things are happening. You know, the people are realizing that Father Matt's here to stay. They started him as an administrator, and then the bishop announced in the middle of the campaign that he's going to make him the pastor, which is, you know, a great thing for St. Charles, because he can't be moved as easily. So he's here probably for a while, and or hopefully for a while. And so when you look at all the different things between what the bishop is doing to help us financially, what Father Matt has done. You know, and we have to put kudos out to Father Chris Malatesta in
Oh,
Dalton. He
great
came,
man. Great guy.
great guy, fabulous guy. He came on board to in between the last pastor and Father Matt, and did a great job of working with everybody and cutting expenses and bringing the church back. And so, you know, we've had a great team come together, and Jeff has done a phenomenal job putting. You know, figuring the walls. I mean, what do I know about a wall? I just know it better stand up straight, you know, and you know, he's gotten all the right people, gotten everything done, gotten all the permits, and you know, gonna be starting probably very, very soon. And
Good.
so you got all these good things going on in our church, and it's a positive. Everything's a positive, and it's just winning everybody back. As soon as we get everybody back and everybody realizes that it's important to contribute. You know, you talked about the beginning of the church when they only had Mass down below. I wonder how many people contributed and didn't see the church fully built. You know, a few people have said, "Why should I donate? Why should I donate?" Well, you should donate because it's the future. It's the future of our church.
And I know I repeat myself, but when you guys get to be my age, you can repeat yourselves too. It is an architectural wonder. And I don't think that's Jeff, you're the building guy. It really is. When I was there, Father saw me a couple of weeks ago, and I stayed after just to remind myself of what it was. We're getting ready for this show. Looking up at that choir loft, looking at the altar, looking at the ceilings, and like I said, if the church closed tomorrow, somebody would save that building. If it's still standing, fortunately, Jeff and you guys are going to make sure that it is still standing. And George, to dovetail a little bit on what you just said, you know, I know it's getting better. There's a lot more room in the back of the church because everybody's sitting in the front now. When I was a kid, we tried to stay in the last three pews. But now, you know, but seriously, that that's a tribute to the Father Matt. Father, and this is a little bit off, and I don't mean to catch a flat-footed, but this is also the Jubilee year for the church. Can you give a 30-second over or 30,000-foot overview of that, what that means?
So in 2025, the church is celebrating a Jubilee year, and it's a Jubilee year of hope, right? Hope in many aspects of our faith, hope in, you know, our belief in Jesus Christ, our belief in God. And there's various activities and things that have gone on. There's holy places throughout the universal church, throughout the world. We've also, Bishop Byrne has identified some Diocese of Springfield as specific pilgrimage sites for this year of hope. Here in the Berkshires, we actually have two, the Monastery of the Sisters in Tieringham, and then also the National Shrine of Divine Mercy. And so throughout the course of the year, there's just going to be a lot around that theme that we're going to talk about and pray about as part of the holy year. So I think for us here at St. Charles, you know, what we're doing gives us great hope, right? That hope for the future that we're doing our part to get back on track and to get our building shored up so that we, for many generations to come, have that hope that many other people will be able to benefit from this beautiful church.
And I think George brought it out, or Jeff. when I was a young kid growing up and an altar boy at St. Charles, the Irish constituency there was very prevalent. Mm-hmm. You know, my saintly Irish mother, myself, we went to Mass all the time. But the foundation of the church, and I don't mean the physical foundation, I mean the spiritual foundation. When I walk in there, I can see generations of people who've come through there. Mm-hmm. I can think of priests, Father Tom Lowen, one of the best priests ever, Father Brunton, Father Hearn. Nobody could understand him, but he was a great old pastor. So it's a historical building. It's got a history in the north end of Pittsfield. Mm-hmm. Most of the people there weren't a lot of rich people. They're all working class mill workers, most of them in the mills around Wacona Street. And my father was a firefighter. My mother was a nurse, blue-collar workers. We never had a lot, but we always had St. Charles. Mm-hmm. And so all I'm saying, if you want to know more about it, call Father Matt, call George. If you want to help, again, it's up to you. But if you have a minute and you want to see a beautiful church, now we've got a lot of nice churches, but this is a beautiful church, kind of fashioned after when I was in Europe, stationed in Europe, a lot like the European churches. And well done. And it, like Jeff was saying, they didn't build it all at once. They built it piece by piece, and that's how they collected the money to do it, piece by piece. So we'll talk more about it in a few minutes. But now I got to get to this other guy. You know, as I said, I consider him a friend. He's a really good man. George and his dealerships... tell us about your nomination, George, for the Dealer of the Year. What does that entail? I know you're going where? Louisiana?
Go to New Orleans next week.
Yeah.
So Time Magazine picks out one dealer each year.
Wow.
And they choose one out of 50. Every state has a gets represented by a dealer.
Okay.
So I've been selected as the Time Massachusetts Dealer of the Year. I go to New Orleans for this convention, and then on Saturday night they on stage, they bring it down to four candidates. And then from the four candidates, they call them four finalists. They bring it down to the one person. And
wow.
So what they do is they rate you on different things. They rate you. You could own multiple dealerships, but there's one dealership that they pick. So that I was nominated through the Toyota dealership. So
okay.
They look at the performance of the dealership for starters. They say, how has the dealership performed? They can see the results. They can see how effective we are in service. They look at our customer satisfaction ratings. I think they look at, profitability probably. They look at how well we do. Then they look at how our employees are treated. And they look at the longevity of your employees and what you do for your employees. Then they go as far as your commitment in your community. What do you do in your community? How well do you support your community as a business and as an individual? And then they look at the individual and they say, what do you do for, I'm going to say, extracurricular activities as far as what do you do for your business on a state or manufacturer okay. level. So, for example, I've been on the board a while back for Mass State Auto Dealers. I am right now the vice chairman for Toyota's National Dealer Council.
Wow. Cool.
And I'm on the dealer council for Subaru, but they just look at Toyota. And then they look at what I do for the state. They look at what I do personally, being on the finance committee for St. Charles, being on different boards and whatnot. So, and then they rate you compared to the other dealers, and it's an independent rating that they have some company come in and they rate you.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And so we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
I have to let the public know this, because I think some people don't know. This guy is very, shy. George Haddad, through Toyota, George, you correct me if I miss anything inappropriately. He got the auto mechanics program in the Taconic High School certified by Toyota. George, a little bit of depth, go into that and say what that, I mean, this is a huge thing. Some people know, most people don't. This, for kiddos going to Taconic High School in the auto mechanics, the studies, this is huge, huge. Please, George.
What we did is, I was having dinner one night with one of the guys at Toyota from the Toyota service end of things, and we were talking about the shortage of technicians. And he said, well, we're going to work on some community colleges, going to try to add one and do this. Yeah. And I said, I really don't think that's the answer. I think the answer is in the high schools. I said, I think we can, start getting kids. A lot of kids come from no money. They're handsy kids. They want to work with their hands. They're not, they don't read 10 books a night. They just love working with their hands. And I said, the high school is the place to start. And he agreed. And so what we decided to do was make a pitch to Toyota headquarters that we should pick a high school and start a program where a student can graduate as a certified auto tech for Toyota. So it took a little bit of work.
Yeah.
But we were the pilot program for this thing, and it's turned out to be great. Toyota has now spread it across the country, and at my last, I think it was my last meeting, they had, I don't know if it was 400 schools, maybe something like that.
Wow.
I think, but they've got programs going around the country now where a student will come out, and he graduated as a basic tech, but he's certified. And what happens when he's certified, he falls into the Toyota system, where this student could say, I want to go to California tomorrow and work at a California car dealership. He can walk into a Toyota store and say, here's my Toyota identification card, and they can see what classes he took and how well he did, not how well he did, but he passed all these classes, and they can see where he stands. So it is a big deal. And we're even working right now with the school to, it got expanded to, we spoke to the school and said, I don't think it's challenging enough for these kids. These kids are doing pretty well. So they've moved up the program now to a different level. And Toyota is really supporting our high school here locally. They've given them, I don't know, four or five different brand new engines, cars. They've got cars to take apart. They've got a Tundra. I think there's a Tundra there. I think there's a 4Runner. Different cars for them to work on.
How cool.
And they've sent them, you know, they might have some test equipment that they're no longer using that's still brand new, but it's just maybe outdated for Toyota, but not outdated for the students. And they've sent that to them for free. They've made deals where we've had to buy stuff and they'll match what we buy.
Wow.
And we took the program even farther, and because the school came back and said our kids don't have the money to get driver's licenses, so they can't come to work and work co-op. So we made a deal with Mass Hire. The school made a deal and put it together for me and helped me out. I mean, Tammy Gage has been wonderful. Tim Conant has been, you know, they're both great people. They've done a phenomenal job. Yeah. And so they were able to put a deal together where between Toyota and I, we've sponsored it, where we've helped kids get their driver's license. And Dave's driving school gave a discount to these kids who don't have the money, almost like a little scholarship program for them. And and so it's all worked out great. And these kids are getting their driver's licenses. They're able to come to work. They're able to learn about cars at the dealership, then go back to school. So the whole program has been a win-win-win for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wanted to let people know about it. It's kind of like one of the best kept secrets of the war here. All that's gone into it, the effort that George has put in and the school, the Tammy Gage, I don't know where they found Tammy, but she's worth my weight in gold. She, what she's done with the technical vocation, they got another name for it now, is just amazing. When this is Pittsfield, why I'm doing this show, church, community, construction, old fat ball guy. It's because Pittsfield is, we are Pittsfield Community Radio. Sitting here today in front of you is a big chunk of the Pittsfield community. Jeff, how many years you been in business?
45.
He started when he was 11. But and what do you do? Give us a 30,000-foot overview of your business.
Well, we're commercial mason contractors specializing in historical new construction. We've done a ton of work. Williams College, Amherst College, Deerfield Academy, Munson Academy.
Wow. Wow.
We travel all over servicing public and private work. And again, we support the community currently building a bathroom concession building at Wacona High School.
Oh, wow. Okay.
For pro bono, just to help out the community. For the kids.
We got to take a break here in a minute, but folks, as I said, this is an eclectic show, but this is Pittsfield Community Television, Community Radio. This is our community. And George, he doesn't look it, but the dealership has been around for 90 years. Now, I don't think George has been there the full 90, but maybe. But seriously, my wife and I, we could have settled anywhere. I've worked all over the world. We could have retired anywhere, but this is home. St. Charles is my parish. This is our home. And I'm really on a I listened the other night to the mayor, and we are starting, we are heading in the right direction, in my opinion. And there's people like George and Father and Jeff and so many others, and Pittsfield Community Television, Pittsfield Community Radio, all these businesses, all these people are trying to make this community as best as it can be. That said, we're going to take a little bit of a break, and I'm going to have some breaking news when we come back about Father Matt. Yes, stay tuned. Just don't, we got more to talk about. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio, PCTV channel 1301, and we've expanded. We've gone into Southern Berkshire, and there was a nice article in the Eagle. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Missed an episode of your favorite show? Have no fear, because we have podcasts. Type in WTBRFM.com/podcast on your favorite browser and search for your favorite show. It's that simple.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream, and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, "Alexa, play WTBRFM," and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
Some news outlets tell you what to believe, and they limit your access to the whole story. Some of them are just plain ugly and mean. Social media is filled with rumors, misinformation, personal attacks. Where locally can you get the whole story, unfiltered, so that you can make informed decisions at the ballot box? There's really only one place. It's on PCTV. On cable, on the PCTV Select app, and at PittsfieldTV.org. The whole story since 1986. PCTV. See it all and decide for yourself.
Join us for Up on Taconic, a weekly show that explores the world of Taconic High School, from students, staff, school programs, and all of the great things that happen here each day. Explore the world with conversations including the culinary arts and other CTE programs. Hear students and teachers discuss the importance of reading, and also take a look at the vibrant arts culture in the school and much, much more. Join us every Monday at 6 p.m. for these lively discussions right here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And UCP of Western Mass. Turn passion into purpose when you apply at UCP of Western Mass, now offering full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. It's more than just a job, it's our identity. Apply today at ucpwma.org/jobs.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back. An eclectic show today. We're talking about church, awards, school, construction, community. Community. Now, Father Matt Barone, he's a Roman Catholic priest. He is the pastor of St. Charles, my parish. He lucked out there, didn't he? But my parish. Father, what's your side job?
My side job. Yes. So I full-time I'm a priest, pastor here at St. Charles, and I drive buses as a side job in many different ways.
And he really does.
I do. Yep.
And he's taken groups to New York, and he's really in with building youth and youth groups. And I will just reminisce, for if I may, for a moment. Father, I mentioned Father Thomas Lowen. Well, he got a youth group going at St. Charles when I was a kiddo, teenager in high school. And it was probably one of the most dynamic things that I still remember today. We did stuff, and it was right in the heart and center of the civil rights movement. And along with the Reverend Durant, and people from Pittsfield know Reverend Durant and his wife, Rosemary, and his wonderful family. Well, we as a youth group would go down in the part of town and fix windows and help. It was all coordinated. Reverend Durant, Father Lowen, again, community. I try to live my life in a community, and I'm not always good at it, but I give it a try. But Father, I pull up, there's a bus in the church parking lot. I said, "What? It was a must have a choir." It was Father. He was taking it. Where was that going, to New York or somewhere?
Yeah, we took a trip to a Mac Hayden in the theater in New York. Actually, when we finish this show today, I'm off to get a bus to take a group from Dalton to the Cross Gates Mall in Albany afterwards. So that's my second half of the day today. So
the other part is the real meal deal, this guy, I'm telling you. Now, George, you were on the Boys Club board for a long time.
Yes.
And that Boys Club is a first of all, it's a construction marvel. Jeff will know that. Got an ice skating rink on the third floor with all that weight. And I can remember when I was a kid and they built that. That was like written up by a lot of places. And for the people that haven't been in the Boys Club in a while or haven't given, you know, I grew up in the, and I'm remiss at this. I'll have a check. I'll make a donation to the club because I grew up there. They're in the CYC because us kids from the North End couldn't afford the Y. So, through the years, George, what's been some things that have really made you happy about the club, about being on the board?
Well, I kind of look at what they do for the kids. I mean, they make sure that the kids are well taken care of, whether it be whether they have cooking class and they make stuff and the kids get to eat it because they you know, maybe their home life isn't as good as it should be, or, you know, they just need to eat. You know, they get there and the club provides the food, they provide a home, and it's, I mean, some people call it a community center versus Boys and Girls Club. Yes. Because people use it as a community center. There's so much stuff going on all the time. I mean, you know, between the basketball programs, the hockey programs, the swimming programs, the, you know, summer camp for all these kids that go out there, and they, you know, and what I think is important is that they make it economically feasible for everybody to be part of the club.
Exactly.
You know, with dues that are, like, you know, extremely inexpensive, and even if they don't have the money, they still accept the kids. They, you know, they work out plans for kids that need to go to summer camp and help the kids out at summer camp out on you know, Richmond Pond and out there. And so it's impressive of how they handle things. They've got programs. You know, Joe McGovern and his crew have been able to tie in the National Boys and Girls Club, and they take programs. They've got, I think, last I knew, they had homework programs where they helped kids with their homework. They helped kids with different things that, you know, you and I wouldn't think of. And, you know, they put it together and they get it done. So it's just a great organization, and I'm glad to be part of it. Or was part of it that way. We still run a golf tournament, and you know, a few of my good friends helped me with the tournament. Tony Mazzio is on the committee, and Greg Knight, and, you know, Ray Kushai. I mean, they're the four main people that you know, we get, and we have a great great event. It's usually in September, and we raise a whole bunch of money for the club, and they use it, and they do a good job using it.
Yes, they do, and they've always had great leadership, always. Back to Fred Fahey and Jimmy Mooney and Jeff, I just drew a blank.
That's okay.
Craig Crozier. Thank you. Don't get to be my age. I forget where I'm at half the time. The other part, George, help me with this too, because I want you, because I think we need to let people know out there who's who in the. What about the police department's ice cream truck?
So we helped put that together with Darren.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good thing. It's good for the kids. Gets the police department out there meeting the kids. So we thought it was a good thing to invest in. And I think Darren does a great job with it.
You see it driving around, folks. Darren Derby's, he's the right guy for that job. There's no two ways about that. The motor and help with that ice cream truck. And I mean, again, we're back to community. You know, we looked, when I was trying to put this show together, I felt it was important, one, to highlight George. He's in a big job, big award if he wins. I'll be at his house for dinner for every night for a month, and I'll bring my 35 closest friends. But seriously, that Jeff Cantarell, a construction guy, working to save a historical, beautiful building. You know, and I don't want to get anybody mad at me, but it won't be the first time that's happened on this show. Remember the old City Savings Bank with the, what do they have on it now? Jeff, you're the construction guy. The tin building, corner of Fenn and North.
Yeah.
What a facade is under that. You know, if I was a millionaire, I'd buy that building and take that off and show those beautiful round, big round windows. But we went through a period, I think, this is my opinion. We went through a period in Pittsfield where we couldn't tear it down fast enough or cover it up fast enough. And now I think where everybody's looking back going, we got to save this.
Right.
And that's how I feel. I'm committed to save as much as I can do to save St. Charles Church. As a church, yes, it's my home parish. I'll admit that. But mostly because of the beauty of that building. The building, the windows, the woodwork, the ceiling. And what we have is a bulge now. It's like me. It got a lot of bulges. But their walls are bulging. Well, so are mine. But and Jeff is an expert in bringing the walls together. And the building was 1894, right, Jeff?
That's correct.
Yeah. Right. And think about how many buildings are around from 1894.
Right. Right. I agree, Bill. We've got to save the buildings we have. Revitalization was not a good practice. The country suffered greatly by destroying all these historical buildings. And the sentiment now is to save structures. But again, I'd be remiss not to mention Father Peter Gregory again, because 20 years ago when I met him and he wanted to put an elevator in, we got together and we put an elevator in.
Yes, you did.
And we did it in such a style that you can't even tell there's an elevator in that church. And his whole theme was, you know, we did it, you know, by the grace of God, and it was meant to be. And this project is, again, this project is not obtainable without our faith. And that's what drives us, is our faith. Yep. And it starts with Father Matt, and we're so lucky and blessed to have him.
Yes, we are. We are. And I have to, I forgot before, Father, I don't know if you ever heard the bishop say this, and you should feel good about this. I was in church last week. Where'd you go? Last week, 4:30, George? That's when I was there, right?
Yes.
Four o'clock. Hear the babies crying. And the bishop said, those are his, that, the, when he hears babies crying, it's the Angels Choir, or something like that. I don't know, but that I sat there and I just kind of smiled to myself. Youth is back in the church, young couples, young babies. And that's Father. That's a tribute to you, really. And like I said, you can't get a seat up front anymore. Geez, everybody, you know, that means they want to be close. Father, what do you, and again, it is a the Diocese of Springfield, the Roman Catholic Diocese of Springfield, has, it's across every parish, a fun, it's a once a, what, every so 20 years or something fundraiser. I know what a bishop said, I can't remember.
Yeah, I think the last time we did something of this magnitude, it was the late 90s, early 2000s, so about 25 years ago. Yep.
Yeah, and it's to help support, because we got to remember, too, when people forget this, the churches were closed, COVID. Mm-hmm. So the heat still had to be on. You know, there were still expenses there. And so, and people are coming back. People are coming back to the church, all the churches, you know, and I think
too, Bill, it's important to sort of recognize that, yes, obviously for projects and individual parishes, but also, you know, the Catholic Church is the largest charitable organization in the whole world.
Yeah.
And this campaign will give us opportunities to raise money for things throughout Western Mass, throughout the four counties of Western Mass. That will help and support that community that we're trying to build here in Pittsfield and across all of the other cities and towns in Western Mass. And I think that's, you know, a really important thing to recognize is that, yes, obviously for us, our focus is our church building and preserving that. But there are lots of opportunities for you know, groups and the mission of the church to support, you know, charitable organizations and all of those parts of the church that we you know, make happen within the community. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, we are a part of the community. That's why I'm doing this show. You know, I had the Reverend on from, well, it used to be South Congregational. They have a new name now. They run a big food pantry there, big food pantry. Sure. And I had him on just before Thanksgiving. And again, they're huge contributors. St. Joseph's Church in Pittsfield, St. Charles has a food pantry. I mean, it is, and again, I know I repeat myself, community. And that's what we try, this radio station, this television station is all about. We don't care what church you go to, what where you buy your car, or who you use for construction. But stay within the community. You know, we're going to be doing a series of shows coming up, just a kind of a FYI, coming up about supporting locally owned businesses. I know it's convenient to shop online and all that, but these businesses are our neighbors. They're our people. They're the people who give to the high school yearbooks. George can probably tell you how often they get asked for contributions to charitable things. Really and truly, Pittsfield is coming back. I believe that with my whole heart. Pittsfield is coming back to what it, I don't know if it'll ever get back to what it was. We had, 17,000 people working at GE at one point. But the community spirit is still there. And the other piece I'll got to just say, too, is part of this eclectic program. I learned that word, so I like to use it now. I don't know what it means. But is we are an aging community. I hear it all the time. I'm part of the aging. And it's home. And anything we can do to keep it going, I really and truly believe we should. And these gentlemen, and they're certainly diverse, aren't they? You have a, you know, a priest, a car dealer, and a construction guy, and an old fat ball guy. So, you know, we are this community. And I thank each one of them for what they do. Father Matt, what he does, even his bus driving trips, think about the people who will enjoy going to Crossgate Mall. Where are you going?
Yes, we're going to the Crossgates Mall this evening with people from St. Agnes. Yeah.
Keep it down a little bit, Father. I don't want the bride to hear it. She'll be on the bus. George, you are a good friend. And I kid you all the time, but what you do for this community, and you're very humble about it and very quiet, and I know you're really angry at me, but that's okay. You'll get over it. I hope you win. I sincerely do hope you win. You deserve it. You've done a lot for so many people in this community and the community as a whole. And good luck. And let me know if when the dinners will be. And I don't want a lot. Lobster and steak's fine. Jeff, what a job you got ahead of you, brother. But you know what? I think everybody that sat in that building that day when you got up and you explained it, and you did a magnificent job. And so did George. You did a magnificent job. But it's a big job. It's a big job. I know you'll do it, and I know you'll do it well. And I as a parishioner, I'm glad you're doing it, really and truly, because it's something I think we all want to save that building. And I know I repeat myself, but it is a beautiful building. And really and truly, when I make this invitation to you, the Sunday Mass is in between. The doors are open. Come take a look at it. I'm telling you, if you do that, you'll be just totally amazed. And I have a few announcements. I'm like, Father, I have a few announcements before the end of Mass. And that is, we got... Father, we got the father-daughter dinner dance coming up. When is that?
Yes, that is a good question. February 1st, I believe.
Yeah, no, I got it right here in the brochure.
Have that in front of me. Yeah.
No, I shouldn't have caught you flat-footed. That's my.
That's okay. No, I can glance over my calendar if you don't have it, but I'm pretty sure it's February 1st. Hold on. Make sure we give the people the right information.
I said it this morning myself.
Yes, Bill. February 1st at 5:00.
February 1st to show you there's life in that parish. Again, let me.
Yep.
There's life in that parish, comma, again. And we have a St. Patrick's Day party coming up too. We'll get you more information on that as it gets closer.
Yep,
where. All I can say, folks, is I thank you for listening. I know this is a different kind of show. I didn't have any political people on. I didn't have any. But I wanted it to be upbeat, and I wanted it to be community. And looking at this group, these are our community. Faith, giving, and working. Think about what the seeds of Pittsfield are. Going back to the GE, and I will just say this. You know, a lot of people are happy they're tearing the buildings down, and that's nice. It does look good, but it's not GE just didn't close here. It's the end of an era. The end of the average guy getting out of high school, going to GE, learning a trade, and making a good living for his entire life and family. Those jobs, poof. Just remember that as we try to rebuild our community. Gentlemen, I thank you for your time. George, again, best of luck. Jeff, thank you so much for coming on. And if you need any help, call George.
Thank you, George.
You don't want me helping you. My wife won't even let me hang a picture. So it's a four-day deal. Father, I'm always here for you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, Bill. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
No, it's my pleasure. You guys are on. We are community. And as I do, and I know it upsets some of you, and but it's my belief, as I say at the closing of every show, God bless. And today, try to lift somebody up, not put somebody down. We're all in this together. We need each other. That's the truth. God bless. Father, George, Jeff, be well. And Father, don't take this as a threat. I'll see you in church.
See you there.
Thank you. God bless everybody.
Yep. Thank you very
much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Bill.
Bye-bye.
Bye.